Before Maria Carlos started doing this work on cognates with colleagues like Diane August and Catherine Snow, we had had some studies informing us about the importance of cognate awareness and what it took for cognate awareness, but we hadn't had interventions. And this is important work. And Maria, thank you for coming and sharing it with us. Maria is currently an associate professor at the University of Miami. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and I apologize for the technical problems. I'm having bad technology karma today, but we seem to have worked it out. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about... Are you getting double sound here? I'm going to tell you about this work that we did as part of a program project funded by the National Institute of Child Health and Development that was awarded to Diane August at the Center for Applied Linguistics. And this was one of several other studies that were conducted under her program project. And Diane and I had an interest in vocabulary learning among English language learners, and specifically on trying to identify the types of strengths that children might bring from their first language into the process of second language learning and second language reading development. And cognates seem to be one of those areas where there could be sort of interesting investigations into this question. So we've teamed up with Chris Barr from the University of Houston, who's helped us do a lot of the statistical analyses that have gone into this work. And another one of our collaborators is Ana Rego at St. Thomas University, formerly at University of Miami, and who helped us with the development of the curriculum. So I'll be reporting on this particular study. The findings were a surprise to us in some ways. They really challenged some of our assumptions about cognate instruction. And so I'm going to try and catch the conversation in those terms about the things that have been most surprising in studying this, what we've learned, maybe some of the benefits of cognate instruction and some of its limitations as well. So just to get us all on the same track. When we're talking about cognates, we're talking about words that have similar spelling and meaning in two languages. And so in English, for this to happen with another language, they'd have to share an alphabet, and they'd also have to share a history. And so words that are languages that have high cognate density also have similar histories. They've been influenced by other languages in similar ways. And so in English and Spanish, which is the two languages we're going to be talking about in terms of this study, we have cognates like edifice, edificio, infirm, enfermo, invincible, and you can see tranquil, tranquilo, amicable, amigable, jocose, jocoso, profound, profundo, amorous, amoroso, impetuous, impetuoso, and I think I have one more, contagious, contagioso. And so what's interesting is that based on what you heard in the pronunciations, these all look pretty similar in their spelling, although there are certainly some differences in how they're spelled across the two languages. But they take on very different phonological properties when they're spoken. So one curious thing about cognates is that they're usually much more easy to identify when you see them in print than when you hear them, because the languages sound different. And so what was at the heart of our thinking about this intervention that I'm going to talk about was thinking about what is it that kids need to learn about the relationships between the two languages and about cognates in general to be able to exploit these relationships in meaning and spelling to their advantage. And we were thinking about this in terms of a strategy that might be helpful to English language learners when they're when they encounter words that they may have never encountered before in English. And this might be sort of an additional strategy that they could use on their own to generate some ideas about what the meanings of words might be. So if they're reading along and they encounter edifice and have never seen it before, but can sort of think back to what they know about the word in Spanish, they may be able to make the link between edifice and edificio. Now, one thing that you might note about edifice, edificio, is that edifice is not a very frequently occurring word in the English language, but it's the everyday word for building in Spanish. So one of the ideas Diane and I were thinking about, and that others have of course pointed out to, is that through cognate awareness, children might get access to a higher register of language in the second language, and that words that are of low frequency in the second language but that have high frequency correlates in the first language might be more readily available to them. This is true with infirm, enfermo. It's the everyday word for sick. The everyday word for deep, profound, profundo. So we were thinking that if children can see these relationships and exploit them in some systematic way, they might be able to take some charge over their own vocabulary growth, and that it would give them yet another strategy for dealing with unfamiliar vocabulary when they were reading. Another assumption that we were working from was the idea that if, in fact, kids can sort of take command over one portion of their vocabulary learning in the English language, sort of that portion that has some relationship to Spanish, that perhaps then instruction could be shifted to focus on the types of words that kids wouldn't have access to through the first language. There are so many words to teach. If it's the case that kids can learn these words pretty much on their own, then from an instructional point of view, you could think about shifting your instructional time to attend to words that they wouldn't get any access to through the first language. And so we were thinking about it in terms of an instructional efficiency point of view. Can we focus on words that they don't have the strategies from their first language to deal with if they have a cognate strategy working for them? So those were some of the assumptions guiding our work. We were also doing this work in the context of many studies showing that vocabulary tends to be one of the factors impacting students, English language learners, and poor readers in general, poor reading comprehension. And also thinking about the fact that it's, again, these general purpose academic words that are of low frequency in the oral language but that appear in high frequency in printed text that kids are having problems with. And so, again, if it was the case that these cognates that have a high frequency of occurrence in the children's oral language if in their first language might give them access to this to these academic words that appear in lower frequency in oral English and high frequency in printed English. So we were also, of course, informed by research that had, up to this point, as Freddie mentioned, shown that kids who have broad vocabularies in their first language, and specifically we're talking about studies looking at Spanish speakers, were able to exploit these relationships in spelling and meaning across the two languages. So there was already quite a bit of work that we could build from. But what had not been demonstrated up to this point and that we were hoping to be able to address was whether cognate awareness was a strategy that could be explicitly taught and if kids could sort of generalize it to other words that perhaps they weren't familiar with but that had cognate status. So we wanted to put together an intervention that made children aware of the relationships in meaning and spelling across the two languages, show them how those similarities in spelling often point to similarities in meaning. And Sharon mentioned false cognates, so words that are spelled alike but have different meanings across Spanish and English. So one good candidate for that is embarrassed, embarazada, to be embarazada, being pregnant, right? And so those words certainly do occur. They are in lower frequency than true cognates. So I think the numbers are 1 out of 10 words that share spellings across the two languages actually turn out to be false cognates, and the majority are, in fact, true cognates. So we were thinking, can we teach children to see these relationships across the two languages? Can we also teach them to see relationships in terms of derivational morphology, looking at word endings and word structure, and see that in some ways Spanish and English share similar morphological processes? C-I-O-N maps onto T-I-O-N. L-Y, as in friendly and amigable, hable, also share the same function morphologically across the two languages. So we were thinking, if we can teach children to see those relationships, we may build up their cognate awareness strategy. So this is what's informing our thinking as we go about developing this intervention. First, we started with a fourth grade study, where we were simply looking at whether or not kids had had this cognate strategy, and then we moved into the cognate intervention that I've been referring to. And so these are the questions guiding our work. And of course, one of the things that we had to pay attention to was whether or not availability to a cognate strategy might vary depending on how broad a child's vocabulary is in their first language or their second language. So we need to take that into account as well. And that's one of the manipulations we did in this study. As we sort of analyzed the data, we looked at the effect of the intervention in relationship to kids' breadth and depth of vocabulary knowledge in the two languages. So in that fourth grade study that I mentioned to you before, we found evidence that kids were using cognate awareness strategies even in the absence of any explicit instruction. So what you see here is data on children who have been instructed in an English-only program. And what you see what we're plotting here is how they do on the cognates and non-cognates. So the hatched line are the the non-cognates, and the sort of more the bottom line is the non-cognates. The top line are the words that are cognates. And we were looking at whether or not that varied in relationship to how much vocabulary, breadth and depth of vocabulary they had in terms of their English knowledge. And this is what it looks like for the English-only groups. When we put this to vary along how much Spanish depth and breadth of vocabulary kids have, you see that the non-cognates are sort of don't vary at all in relation to kids' Spanish knowledge, but they do get pretty marked variation along their depth and breadth of Spanish knowledge for the cognate words. And we see the same thing for a group that's been instructed in a transitional bilingual education program. So they're doing better on the cognates than the non-cognates. And there's some variation that has to do with English depth and breadth of vocabulary, but it's pretty much the same effect across both types of words when we do it along children's Spanish depth and breadth of vocabulary. Then we get a very strong relationship for the cognates that's different from how the non-cognates are performing. And then finally, this is what it looks like for children who have been in a dual language program with heavy emphasis on Spanish language development. This is how it looks like along their English depth and breadth of vocabulary. And this is what we see for variation across Spanish depth and breadth of vocabulary. So clearly, kids are responding to cognates and non-cognates differently. They are more likely to know the cognates, and the probability that they will know a cognate is going to vary in relation to how much depth and breadth of vocabulary they have in Spanish. And so this was a study with fourth graders, and we were wondering the extent to which kids had developed these types of abilities, this ability to sort of recognize cognates and exploit those relationships on their own, the extent to which this might be something that needs to be explicitly instructed, and the extent to which this varies developmentally. So these fourth graders seem to be showing it. Would it be the case that younger children also show these relationships across the two languages? And when do they start to sort of show sensitivity to these similarities in spelling? And so that was another set of questions guiding our work. So we asked whether an intervention that explicitly taught cognate awareness to Spanish English bilingual students, in this case third and fifth graders, could improve their learning of English words that were cognates. And to what extent can they transfer that ability to recognize cognates to words that we haven't instructed them on? This would make sense to us as a strategy if it could, in fact, be something that kids could apply on their own, where they didn't have to be instructed on every single word in this way, that once they generate some awareness of cognates, they can transfer it and apply it to words that they haven't been instructed in. And so that was one of the motivating questions behind this study. So we conducted this study in a school district in South Florida, and part of the Miami-Dade County School District. They cooperated with us and allowed us to implement this intervention in third and fifth grade. We had about 130 students in third grade and about 128 in fifth grade, all Spanish-speaking, all designated as English language learners. And they were all in schools where there was a Spanish maintenance program where kids were getting Spanish language instruction, Spanish for Spanish speakers, for approximately 45 minutes a day, three times a week. There were three schools involved in the study, two schools implemented in each grade level. So we had a total of three schools, but two implementing at any given time in each grade. These were schools that were majority Latino students, and they were schools that had obtained at least a grade of B. So it was important to us that these were schools that had put some resources into Spanish language development, because we figured going from the oral language alone wouldn't necessarily be very helpful to the children. They would need to have some degree of reading and writing proficiency in Spanish, because as we pointed out when we started out, cognate relationships aren't always obvious when you're going from the oral mode. You have to sort of see them in print, be able to read them, see those sort of orthographic and morphological relationships across the two sort of instances of spelling. So we purposefully selected schools where kids were getting some Spanish maintenance instruction on the assumption that these should be the children who would benefit the most from this kind of instruction. We assessed the children both in Spanish and English. We of course, collected some standardized reading data on them using the Woodcock Language Proficiency Battery. If you look under the Spanish column, we were on the WLPB. We assessed their picture word vocabulary, their letter word ID, their listening comprehension, and their passage comprehension. We also administered a researcher-developed test that we called Extract the Base, which is a measure of children's awareness of word structure. So they would see a word that says, so they see farmer, and that would be followed by a sentence that says, we work every day on the farm. And so the idea is that they have to extract the base farm from farmer. Farm, farmer are very close to one another. It's a transparent relationship. But then we had other pairs of words that were harder, like labor, laborious, where there's both a spelling and sound change in the two words, and we're sort of finding the base is a little harder.
So we assess this what we call this morphological awareness skill, because part of what kids have to be able to do when they're looking for cognates is extract some part of the word that is similar to the spelling of the word in Spanish and see the relationship in the roots across the two languages. So having that skill in Spanish would be important, and so we assessed it. In English, we assessed both at pre- and post-test. We had, of course, a cognate awareness test, and this was a multiple-choice test. I'll show you a little bit more about it in a minute. A multiple-choice test that assessed kids' knowledge of word meanings in English. So the cognate awareness test was all in English. In fact, children were never told that this was a cognate test. We called it sort of the word association test. So nothing about the test would explicitly point out to them that there were cognates in the test. We presented it to them as a straightforward vocabulary test. We also did the extract the base in English, a measure of morphology, and a measure of passage comprehension standardized through the Woodcock Language Proficiency Battery. At pretest, we also measured their word identification skills in English, their picture word vocabulary, so breadth of vocabulary in English, and their listening comprehension in English. We had also developed a comprehension test that get at kids' understanding of text that included cognates, and we developed that with the SVT test. I won't be presenting on that today, but I just wanted you to know that that had also been part of the original design. So let me tell you a little bit about this cognate awareness test. This was developed as part of the project and working off of a measure that we had developed in another sub-project of Diane August's program project, and this was developed with the help from Valerie Malabonga and Dory Kenyon at the Center for Applied Linguistics. So the idea was that this cognate awareness test could measure students' awareness of Spanish cognates. And the idea would be that it would pick up on the extent to which kids could use this information about cognates as a source of information about words that they may not be familiar with. The test looked a little bit like this. We would show them the word edifice, and they would have to pick out a closely related associate. And one of the things that we built into the test was a design where we were able to match the frequency of the cognates in English to other English words that were not cognates that were equally infrequent. So we tested a lot of words that were infrequent in oral language but that appear with some regularity in written texts, and match them so that they could be compared to other English words that are not cognates that are equally infrequent in the oral language. And we also purposefully selected words that had a high frequency of occurrence in Spanish. So converse, conversar, would be the everyday word for chatting, talking. But then it has sort of this cognate status in English, where converse is a somewhat more sophisticated word for chatting and talking, right? And so they were matched to these low English frequency words that were not cognates. So this was an important manipulation to build into the study, because we have to be able to show that the probability of learning any one of these cognate words is not just because they're more frequent in the language. We had to match them to words that were equally sort of hard to encounter in the language and equally hard conceptually. And that they only differentiated themselves from the non-cognate words in this sort of status of having a high Spanish frequency cognate to associate it to. So the intervention itself, so I've told you a little bit of how we measured it, and so let me tell you a little bit of what it was we did as part of the instruction. We decided to focus this on the theme of exploration and did three units on exploration, one on the exploration of Antarctica, one on the exploration of coral reefs, and a third unit on the exploration in space. And this was, you'll see in a minute, a fairly short intervention, because the idea was, can we teach this as a strategy? And does the strategy alone carry on to other words? So this was not meant to be a very intensive word development intervention. This was a strategy instruction intervention that, if successful, should generalize to other words, or at least that was sort of the reasoning we were following as we were developing it. So one of the things we did as part of this intervention was teach kids about cognates and teach them to recognize them on the basis of how they sound and how they look and their meaning. So constantly they were having to compare words on their spelling, their phonology, and their meaning, and we had a number of activities that did that, and I'll show them to you in a minute. We targeted both cognates and non-cognates, so out of the text that they encountered in these units on Antarctica, the coral reefs, and space, we selected words for instruction that were cognates and also selected non-cognate words that we thought were worth teaching. We opened all of the units with a video, a theme-related video, and a biography of the explorer. The idea was to sort of make this engaging and finding other ways of other ways outside of text to engage kids with the material. And one of the teaching strategies that we used, we built, of course, on a lot of the work on vocabulary instruction that Isabel Beck and others...